want to read a few verses in the book of Job, and chapter 33. Book of Job and chapter 33. I want to speak on particularly one verse, but in these verses that we read, we can find a similar word in each of these verses. Job chapter 33, verse 18. He keepeth back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. Verse 24. Then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Verse 28. He will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. And verse 30. To bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. We trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word and other scriptures we'll consider together tonight as we think of them. You have noticed that there is one word in particular common to these four verses of scripture. Verse 18, verse 24, verse 28, and verse 30. The pit. The pit. I never was in the pit. When you talk about the pit in Fife, you talked about the coal mine. I suppose it was in other parts of Lanarkshire, the Lothians, Ayrshire in particular. And then we talk about going to the pit. Reminding us of where they went to work. But the life you hear in Job chapter 33 when he's speaking is not speaking about going down to the coal mine. But he's speaking about a place that was called the pit. Metaphorically, it speaks to us of that terrible place that the Bible calls hell. And in this verse in particular that we want to speak about tonight and find things in it in verse number 34, we have what we call a universal message. And it's the speaker is not so much Elihu, though he was the one speaking, but the subject of the speaker is God. And God is the speaker. And God is the one who is gracious. And God is the one who comes out in mercy. For we recognize again this evening that in reading a solemn verse like this, he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. So tonight, when we consider such a solemn verse as this, it's telling us this, that there's a warning to all mankind, no matter who they are or where they are. The warning to mankind is this, that they are on a road that's leading to a lost and an undone eternity. And Elihu, God picks him up and he speaks to Job. He's angry. But in these verses, there's a solemn warning, not so much to Job this evening, but a solemn warning to the world, to mankind, to each of us. The Lord Jesus spoke about the fact that there is two ways in life. There's a broad way and there's a narrow way. And the broad way, it leads to destruction. And the narrow way, it leads to life. And the broad way, there are many on that way. And on the narrow way, there are few on that way, in comparison to the many on the broad way. And it tells us that the gate is narrow, and few that be that go in thereat, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. So life is portrayed to us in Scripture by the words of the Lord Jesus, that there are only two roads in life, and each one is born on the broad road. Let me illustrate this. It comes to mind. My fellow co-worker Dan Usher had his tent pitched in a place called Shigwanis. And he invited us to come along some nights and preach in the tent in Shigwanis. It's a good hour's journey from where we live in Sandy Grandy. We went along each night that we were invited to come and preach in the tent. When those meetings were over, we moved into a hired room in a community centre for a Friday night meeting. And there were one or two people came along to those meetings from the tent. One night I was there, Dan wasn't there. And at the end of the meeting, a lady waited. And as we talked to her alone about the things of God that she was anxious about, I remember asking her words like this, "Are you saved?" And that dear lady answered with an expression I haven't forgotten, "I've been saved ever since I've been born." We believe that that dear woman had never yet realized that she was not saved, and she was on the road to a lost eternity. She had attended the meetings. She had heard the word of God preached. She had started to come along to the meetings on the Friday night once a week, or thereabouts. And "I've been saved ever since I've been born," she could say. Sad to say, none of us were saved from the day we were born. We discover this, we are on the broad road that leads to a lost eternity. And it matters not what kind of a home we're brought up in. If we're not saved, we're lost. We might realize that we need conscious salvation. In a verse like this, we'll be reminded that God is saying and using the man Elihu, "Then he is gracious unto him and says, deliver from going down to the pit, for I have found an answer." God in his grace and in his mercy and in his favour, he is gracious, and he comes out to us and he implores us. God is gracious. The verse in the book of Exodus, and he says this in chapter 33, "I will make all my goodness to pass before thee." He's speaking to Moses. "And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee." And this is the expression. and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. God is a God of grace and a God of infinite mercy, that he comes out to mankind in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God does something else to Moses. He puts him in a cleft of a rock, and the Lord passed by him and proclaimed, "The Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth." And God will appeal to Moses, and in so doing would appeal to mankind, and in so doing appeals to us and tells us, "I'm a God who is long-suffering, a God who is gracious, a God who is abundant in mercy and truth." That's the God that Elihu is speaking about. That he is gracious. God is gracious unto him. We wonder just how long we can be in that place where we might know God's grace and yet spurn it, set it aside. I wasn't saved. I was invited to spend a weekend, Saturday, Sunday, at a home in Kirkcaldy with three other friends from Lahore. We went down to Donald MacDonald's in Kirkcaldy, and we spent the weekend. He didn't tell us his wife was going to maternity and giving birth to their second child. But that was the weekend that the baby girl was born. His wife was in the maternity, and he had four young men staying with him in the house. We went along to the meeting in Wright Street. The preacher preached, and so on. But Sunday evening came. Alec Driver wasn't feeling well. He said, "I'm going home." And I said, "I'm going with you. I want it out of the atmosphere of the home where the things of God was prominent." And going home into an empty house under deep conviction of sin, I sat down at the old organ that was in my mother's living room, and I turned over the pages to try and play some hymn. There was a Bible sitting on top of the organ, and I lifted that Bible up and I flipped through it until I came to the end cover, and I read on the end cover what we all used to do. And I read these words. It was my sister's Bible. "Saved, redeemed. Preacher Harold German, place Bethnal Hall." And I took that Bible and I threw it with all my might across the room. I was angry. And I learned that night, God is no respecter of persons. My young sister of 7 years and 15 days younger than me was saved. And I wasn't. God is gracious. And God is gracious to the extent that we might spurn his grace. we might do despite to the Spirit of grace. We might reject the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who in grace came. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich. We might set that aside. Yet, says the Scriptures, God is gracious unto him. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what does the verse say now? God is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him. Deliver him. And that's an urgent cry, isn't it? You can hear it ringing down through the ages. Deliver him. And God is still with the urgent cry saying, deliver him. And as God speaks, the psalmist says, he's great in thy mercy towards me, for thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Hell's a reality. It's a place. It's the place of the doomed and the damned. It's the place that the man says, I am tormented in this flame. It's the place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And God says, deliver him. Why? From going down to the pit. When we think of the pit, an undesirable place. I'd no love to go down the pit, the coal mine. Thankful to my father and my mother that I never had to go down the pit. But there are those who have gone down the pit. But when we think of what it means, this place that is referred to in Job chapter 33 and in these four verses, but in this verse 24 in particular, the pit, where it's synonymous with that place called Sheol, that place called hell, that place of the lost. Some folks say, where's heaven? Well, the Bible always speaks to us about heaven as being above. Where's hell? Always speaks to us that which is below. In London many years ago, the car screeched to a halt beside a policeman. And the young man called out to the policeman, copper! Which is the quickest way to hell? Not realizing it was a Christian policeman. And all he said was this, round the next corner at the speed you're going. And with a mocking laugh, he tore away, he revved away. And round the corner, and all he heard was the crash. And going round the corner, there was the mangled wreck. And four dead young men. It's the quickest way to hell. Round the corner at the speed you're going. Deliver from going down to the pit. It is God's desire that we might be delivered from that awful place that the Scripture speaks of as the pit. Look at the closing part of the verse. I have found a ransom. I found a ransom. I found the atonement. This is the triumph of this verse. If Elihu possibly did not understand the full extent of what he wrote, what he spoke, that day when he was angry, when he said, he is gracious unto him, what he said, deliver from going down to the pit, I have found a ransom. That is the gospel message that Elihu has taught, and brings your thoughts over to the New Testament scriptures, that there we find in the Lord Jesus Christ one who becomes the ransom, and God who spoke at the beginning of the verse is the God who speaks at the close of the verse, I have found a ransom. Now you and I can't give an answer to it for a brother. Listen what the book of the Psalms says. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Why? For Psalm 49 verse 8 says, for the redemption of the soul is precious and ceaseth forever. One translation says, the redemption of the soul is costly. It's precious. It's costly. And God can recognize that the redemption is costly. And who is the one who is able to redeem? We can't redeem each other. We can't give to God a ransom for each other. But we thank God tonight that one has given to God a ransom. Listen again. Paul says to Timothy, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And so tonight, right down here in Lower Methil or in Inner Leiden, whichever we would like to put it, right here in the little gospel hall, God says, deliver from going down to the lost eternity, from going down to the pit, from going down to that place which is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He says, I have found a ransom. And at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself on the cross a ransom for many. The days of the Crusades. One of the Knights Templar was captured by the Arabs, and he was held in their prisons. And they sent out that they were prepared to let him go if a ransom price was paid. And the ransom price was set that his wife in England would go to where her husband was in captivity and have her right hand severed. She went, and they severed her right hand, and her husband went free. How often he must have looked at his one-handed wife and saw that the price of his deliverance was the fact that she was willing to give her right hand as a ransom price for his deliverance. Turn your thoughts to Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't give his right hand, he gave himself. He gave himself at Calvary. He gave himself as a ransom for all, that everyone doth not come into the good of God. For the Bible goes on to say that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we gathered around the Lord's Supper this morning, when he instituted that feast, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to give his life a ransom for many. Are you found amongst the many? We were all found amongst the all. But there came a moment in life's experience when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and we came to him. Jesus, I will trust thee. Trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, helpless. Thou can make me whole. The Lord Jesus Christ, because of what he has accomplished, that he freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, we have been ransomed, we have been set free, we have been justified, we're saved. And so, the unique discovery is this, that God has found a ransom. One last point. There's an unending praise. And for those who know the Lord Jesus, listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 40. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock. Established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear. And shall trust in the Lord. So, Job 33:24. The words of Elihu, yea, the word of God. God is gracious unto him. For he said, deliver from going down to the pit, for I have found a ransom. Have you come into the good of that yet tonight? Have you come to know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour yet? Have you put your faith and trust in him tonight? Why not this evening? Get right with God and trust him as your own and personal Saviour. We're going to pray, and after we've prayed, we're going to sing 202, one of my favourites that's sitting here, the hymn book turned up. Stephen gave out 196, we'll give sing 202, fairest of all the earth beside it. That man of Calvary has won my heart from me and died to set me free. Blessed man of Calvary. Our Father, we bow before thee tonight. We do give thee thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for every scripture that brings our thoughts and our attentions to him. These words of God that were spoken so long ago, the earth's earliest ages, and Elihu said, he is gracious unto him, and said, deliver him from going down to the pit, for I have found a ransom. We thank you, Father, for the one who has ransomed us tonight, who has paid the price of our redemption, that we might again trust him as our Saviour. That we might rejoice in this. That we be kept from going down to the pit. Because a ransom price was paid at Calvary. Bless thy word to each of our hearts. In our Saviour's name. Amen. 202. 202. Comfort of all my earthly way. Jesus, I'll meet thee some sweet day. Centre of glory, thee I see, wonderful man of Calvary. 202, keeping our seats.